Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Diva Days of Our Lives and Friends. This is Carrie. You can follow me on Twitter at Diva Abdul and check out our blog at divaabdul.com. And I've been updating a lot lately. I just updated it and we'll discuss it later. There was an Instagram photograph that was taken today that it probably shouldn't have been. So we'll discuss it. Oh boy. You gotta love actors with
the former actress on Days of Our Lives.
Yes.
The fans love them, though.
Oh, yeah. So basically, now we know what's happening in mid-August.
Yeah.
So, we have a Facebook page, Diva Days is the friend page, and Diva Days of Our Lives is the fan page. And thanks for everybody who liked our fan page. It's been every day we're getting new people, which is totally awesome. The blog, we have a Google Plus page, and there's an e-newsletter you can subscribe to, and once a day you get a newsletter with all the blog entries on it. And you can follow us on Blog Talk Radio. So there's just many ways you can follow us and find out the latest things that are happening on Days. Because I just sit on the computer all day long waiting for the latest news to post. It seems like it. Doesn't it seem like it? Oh my gosh. So anyway, tonight we have Anna here.
Hello.
And for a few minutes we have the very sunburned Marianne.
Oh, hi everyone. Tired and sunburned, yeah.
Yeah, tired and sunburned.
You know, yeah, somebody's out in the sun all day, especially like I haven't been out in the sun for a while. Because, you know,
yeah,
weather hasn't
yeah.
been that good. But now I'm in Virginia now, so it's nice. But, yeah, so it was so it's tiring. And, yeah, the sun just kind of takes it out of you. But I'm here for a little bit, so.
Awesome.
I'm glad you made it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So you seen the cherry blossoms this weekend? Or is it
Yeah. Well, it's actually the apple blossoms.
Oh, it's apple blossoms.
Yeah, cherry blossoms like D.C. Apple blossoms like in Virginia and in Winchester, they're known for their applesauce, White House applesauce. It's a big thing. And so they have all the apple orchards and trees. And so this is the time of the year when the apple trees blossom, the blossoms come out. So then it's a big deal down here. There's all kinds of stuff going on.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Oh, and everybody follow at Bob Hafka and at Amy Hafka because they're the best. We love them.
Yes.
So let's talk about the Emmys first. Thanks to Angela for direct messaging me about it. For some reason or other, it completely slipped my mind about the Emmys. So several nominees. Peggy McKay got nominated.
It was so uneventful for Days, I thought.
Well, for the men it was. I thought it was good for the women, but I think for the men, they really didn't do
too
well.
It still amazes me how they come up with some of these. Even not just for Days, for even some of the other ones. So I don't know. Now that I started to watch General Hospital, it's like I can't believe some of the ones that got it and some of the ones that didn't get it. But
That was what everybody was kind of complaining about, was some of the General Hospital actors got on who shouldn't have, and some of them who didn't get on. Like everybody was complaining about Snola didn't get on. So,
yeah.
Finola
Hughes didn't get nominated.
She didn't get See, I haven't seen the list, so I didn't know. But, oh, my gosh, Finola didn't get it?
No.
And I'm also becoming a fan of Maurice Bernard, who plays Sonny. He's another phenomenal actor. I really like him. Now, whether he had, someone said he didn't really have as big a storyline this year, I guess, as he has had other years.
Yeah.
So that could be a reason why he wasn't, but
who did get who did get the noms for
Jason Thompson, who plays Patrick.
Yeah, that was
I like
kind
him.
Of, everybody kind of knew that was going to get it. Yeah.
Yeah, he's okay. It's not my face. But, yeah, but I guess he had a bigger storyline this year than he's had other years. So, yeah. But I can't remember who else. He's just the one that sticks
out there. Ian didn't get nominated?
No. I'll read the list. Outstanding Drama, Bold and Beautiful, Days, or Hospital, One Life, and Young and Restless. Lead actress Susan Flannery, which she might get it because her character died.
Mm-hmm.
Peggy McKay, and I mean, I could see people complaining about Peggy submitting in lead, but I remember when I interviewed her last fall, I told her flat out she was going to get a nomination. So I told her all about one. I felt bad that everybody was kind of trashing her on Twitter that she put herself in
terrible.
Lead. Yeah. Yeah, so, but, no, I think she's I always thought she was an amazing actress, but she's fantastic. Michelle Stafford, Young and Restless, and Heather Tom, Bold and Beautiful. Lead actor, Peter Bergman. This is, like, the Young and Restless category for some reason. Peter Bergman. Yeah. Doug Davidson, Michael Mulvaney, and which is good for him, but he bitches every year. He doesn't get nominated. So I'm actually, like, rolling my eyes at that one. Even though everybody says he's a great actor and he deserves it, he just acts like a total ass every time he doesn't get nominated. And he has, like, an ass during the Emmys, and he mean tweets the Emmys. I mean, it's really ridiculous. And Jason Thompson, General Hospital. Sporting actress, Julie Marie Berman. Captain Kelly Lang, and she's
awesome. Oh, my gosh, Julie Marie Berman? Oh, cringe.
Yeah, you remember. Yeah, and everybody was excited for Catherine Kelly Lang for Brooke. But I think the reason why Catherine wasn't nominated previously is she does not submit very good clips. Like, she'll have a stellar clip, and she doesn't submit that. She submits something else. So I think that was always the problem with her. Jessica Collins, that's a lot of people were scratching heads on that one. Ari Zucker, everybody thinks Ari's fantastic, but thought she should have been lead, which makes sense.
Yeah,
with Claire Egan. Supporting actor was Bradford Anderson, Jeff Branson, Scott Clifton, and Billy Miller. Younger actress, Kristen Alderson, Hunter King, Jacqueline McInnes Wood, Lindsay Morgan. Another Days actresses got it. So that would have been Kate and Kate Mancy and Camila. Younger actor, Max Eric, I don't know who that is. Brighton James. People are making fun of him on Twitter. They think he's at least 40 or something. I think you're supposed to be 25 and younger. So everybody's done issues with him. They said they heard him back in the 80s, so he couldn't be that young. Chandler Massey and Freddie Smith. So we got both of those guys on there. Writing team. Bold and Beautiful, General Hospital, One Life to Live, and Young and Restless. So the writing team did not get nominated for Days. The thing is, too, since Tom was in charge of the submissions, I wouldn't be surprised if he submitted his writing and didn't submit the other writer's writing. Because the other writers wrote up till August, maybe.
Probably most of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's the thing. So that was it. So I'm not surprised about Ari, and I'm not surprised about Chandler, Freddie, and Peggy. I thought they all had stellar years. We had three people paying for supporting. I know one was Galen. He had shut out. Sean Christian. Can't remember the other two guys. I thought maybe it was DiPillo.
What happened to Blake? Where was Blake Barris?
Yeah, I can't remember if Blake supported for younger or supporting. So I think he's 27. But that's what Angela...
Oh, he couldn't be younger. See, I guess he's in the younger crowd.
I think
of him as a younger category, I guess.
I think he's too... Maybe it's 30 and under. If it's 30 and under, that would be his category. So maybe he was. Yeah, he must be 30 and younger than for that age group. So that's what Angela was sending me a DM about. She couldn't believe Blake didn't get nominated. And I totally agree with her. I thought he's just been amazing. So, do you guys have any reaction to the Emmy noms? Anna, Marianne.
Yep. What did I say? Oh, yeah. That was going back to Ari. So she's in supporting, right? And people think that she should be in lead. Do you think she has? I think she has maybe a better chance in supporting than she would in lead.
Yeah, that's what people don't understand. That's what they're doing because, I mean, if you're
but she still
Ari,
hasn't won. In other years, she should have won. You know what I mean?
She always puts herself in supporting. She never puts herself in lead. I mean, do you really want to go up against Susan Slannery and, even Heather Tom won last year. Michelle Stafford, I can't remember if she won or not, but she's nominated all the time. So usually that's the older women category. That's usually, you know, like 60 and up. That's basically what it is.
Yeah,
so.
But I just kind of don't understand the whole thing. And what was I going to say on James Scott, like some of them don't even submit at all. I heard like James Scott didn't, or Allison Sweeney. Why don't they? They just don't believe in the process. They don't think they are worthy of it, it's just odd that they don't submit something.
Yeah, especially when he did have stuff because he had Stefano dying, he had Lexi dying. He had his baby dying.
Has he submitted before? And maybe got shut out and figured, well, you know.
That's what they said. They said he submitted the year before and got mad because he didn't get nominated. There you go. And James Reynolds, he was in the pre-noms and didn't get nominated, and I thought that was a bunch of crap. I thought he was amazing with the whole Lexi story.
It's always the same ones. It's always the same names.
Yeah.
And they said something that's like a Young and the Restless year, and it's a CBS year.
Everybody says Young and the Restless sucks. It sucked last year, and it should have gotten all these nominations. Everybody was saying, you know, General Hospital was the best last year.
I only started watching it in October, so really I can't say much because what year, whether they go from January to January, or I don't know how they go, or
I think
what
it
part
is
of the year. Yeah.
It might be November to November, but I think they start picking the stuff at the end of the year. Yeah. So.
Oh, okay.
I don't get it. It's like everybody's. Well, the thing is, too, it could be that the CBS shows ganged up and block voted again.
Yeah. And Lauren, I don't know how Anna feels, but Lauren, does she submit? Because she never gets nominated.
She never gets nominated either. It's really tough. I think she got a pre-nom a couple years ago, but she, it sucks because she's one of the best ones. She's one of the best actors on Days. I mean, bar none. So, I don't know. That continues to frustrate me. But
when you hear some of these other actors that get nominations and not the ones that don't, it just doesn't make sense to me. I know. Yeah.
I think some probably play the game more than others. I'm not pointing any fingers.
Some really don't care. You know, I guess that's.
Yeah.
And really, it's an award. And when you think about it, sometimes it's like, it's a kind of a joke, really. I mean, how proud can you be of it sometimes? I don't know.
Well, I didn't hear quite all the list, but did Christian LeBlanc make it again?
How serious of us really of an award is it? It just doesn't, the whole process seem right.
Yeah, well, when Tony Geary wins 5 out of 6 years, it's like you got to, wait a minute here, you know.
The whole process, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This would be a better way of doing it, or it sounds like it all comes down to politics too.
I think the Sucky Christina got nominated too one day. I don't know what her name is on, her real name is, but the second Christina on GH got nominated, I believe, in the younger category. And my gosh, that girl's, I hate to say it, but awful. So I don't know.
Anyway. Oh, and the one girl that plays Kelly, or I think of her name, maybe it's Kelly. is the actress, and she plays Kate and Connie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah?
Is it Sullivan? Is it Sullivan?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, that, she's a phenomenal. She's a great actress, and she didn't get anything.
Yeah.
She had a, I thought
oh,
she
man,
a
she makes
year.
My head spin, even though I can't stand her character. She makes my head spin on GH because she's like between Connie and Kate. And then
Kate.
Now
oh,
that
yeah, because she has
this now that she's integrated.
Now she's integrated.
Kind of a little bit of both.
A little bit of both,
too.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, so she's pretty good. Even though I personally mm-hmm. don't enjoy the character too much, I think she is a good actress. And Ian and Fanola should have gotten at least supporting actor nominations. That's ridiculous. For all the mask on, mask off stuff, you know, all the, I mean, they had such great material.
Well, Ian, for
believe.
His dual role as Faze On, and
I mean, yeah,
Ian is Faze On,
get,
and Faze On, and, I mean, yeah, Duke is,
other than
yeah.
the fans, I mean, the fans gave him credit, but I cannot mm-hmm. believe, I mean, and he's a very respected actor in the industry. I can't believe he did not get a nomination for that.
Mm-hmm. Let's put, yeah, even a nomination, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, yeah, Oh, well.
So when are the Emmys? Or who's having them? The same ones that had it last year? Network?
Yeah, I think HLN got it again. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's June 1st.
Well, that was good because it at least it gave them a lot of visibility for the soaps to have it on CNN. I mean, that was really, you know, that was really kind of cool. We got a lot more PR for the industry than we did the year before, even on CBS, because that was a whole tribute to Vegas where it was basically a big, long commercial for Vegas. And last year, at least, the production was much better, I think. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it was a huge improvement last year. So.
I'm glad they're having it back then. It must have done HLN some good, too, or else they wouldn't have signed up for it again, so.
Yeah, I thought the ratings weren't very good, but it was trending on Twitter.
They got a lot of attention on social media, though, so maybe that
helped
or something.
It was all over Twitter. I remember Ron Moss was trending because he looked like a vampire or something. he always comes up with these odd costumes. Yeah, and the winners were all trending, and yeah, so it should be good, and should I look out who some of these actors are? When the clips, we find out what the clips are, maybe we'll come up with some predictions. So that should be fun. And oh, and the other thing too was the writer from One Life is competing against himself in the writing category with General Hospital. So I can't remember.
Was it Ron Cavallardi or whatever his name is?
Yeah, he's competing against himself in for best writing.
Hey, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Can you imagine if you lost? You'd be like, what the hell? What do I have to do? I have to write for four soaps? So, yeah, so we'll have to go through that and come up with something. See, Marianne, did you want to talk about EGME? They had a heck of a week, especially Sammy. And EG, too, separately, yeah.
Yeah, what's that? I'm trying to think. I didn't get to see Thursday or Friday, so I didn't get to watch it, but I went on the Diva blog and read all your tweets, so that always helps with your descriptions of everything. And so let's see, what did I see? Oh, I saw when she, her and Lucas broke into Nick's place and she got to, she stole his money. She got to, not only did she get all the evidence, you know, the flash drives and all that to figure out the evidence, but she also got the $30,000 and she took it back. Mm-hmm. And when EJ saw that she had it, and that was a cute exchange between them there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You can help me out with this because I can't really exactly what all happened.
She said something like you stole it or something. They played word games with it. So, you know,
it was cute. It was classic EJammy. Do you remember what they said? I can't think.
I can't remember the exact words, but they were cute.
No.
They were really cute.
Yeah, they're really cute. And something about, taking it back. And he said, no, you're not going back. I guess he wants to take it back. You know, he doesn't want her to try and take it back.
Well, on Thursday too, it was cute mm-hmm. because he he rescued her from Nick. So I, since you didn't see that part, that was really cute too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I did. Okay, I didn't see it, but yeah, I remember reading he rescued.
Yeah, it was. It was kind of
because Nick came after her.
So
Nick kind of figured out because of the, from what I read, the pictures. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he knew that, and right away when he found out that Sammy was in the house, he figured, and he went to her to ask for it back. And what, mm-hmm. EJ saved her, or stopped him then. Yeah.
I love that they're writing the capers. It's so fun. Like, Lucas and Sammy, they're doing all this stuff together to, like, save
mm-hmm.
Will and stuff. It's really cute. Anyway, go ahead.
Anything was EJ jammy in the beginning of the week? Beginning of the week, I'm thinking a lot of it was Brady and John and Kristen.
Yeah, it really wasn't EJ jammy. Beginning of the week, I'll set up the whole money stealing thing.
Money stealing, yeah.
Yeah, Will caught up Gabby to get her out of the house. Sammy and Lucas went to the mansion to distract Maggie by bringing over Allie, and they had Maggie go outside with Allie and look at the flowers while Sammy snuck upstairs. Well, Sonny comes over to the Kiriakis mansion. She said there's 17 bedrooms, so, you know, what's the chances of Sammy finding the right one? So they both go up to Nick's, and they find a file marked BD, and Sammy said BD stands for baby daddy, and Sonny opened it, and that's what it was. It was the audio of Will confessing to shooting EJ, so he deleted it. But when they said BD, I was thinking of Brian Dottillo.
Me too.
Oh, yeah, that was
funny. I thought the same thing.
Yeah, BD, that's the first thing he starts with. Oh, it's Dottillo. So, and they never really explained what BD stands for, so I guess he was thinking, you know, baby daddy. So they deleted it, and they figured, oh, he must add on the flash drive too. So they found the flash drive, and there was a million of them. So they decided just to grab them all and check them later and return them. And then Nick comes home, so Sammy and Sonny were in the closet, and that was freaking hilarious.
They go, well, she said something like, "Now we're out of the closet," or something.
Now
like,
we're out of
the
closet.
That was a good line.
Yeah, it was really funny. And Adrian was distracting Nick to get him out of the room. So, Sammy and Sonny snuck back out, and then I think Nick left again for some whatever reason. And so Sammy goes back in. She finds some money, and she just takes it for no reason. The whole thing is suspicious. Why would someone have $30,000 in cash lying around? So they all left, and that's when Sammy showed up at EJ's and at her office. And eventually Nick does figure out that Sammy's the one who took the money after Maggie told him that Sammy and Lucas were over. So that's how he figured it out. Sammy took the money. And Nick, like, totally flips out. Oh, the money was from Vargas. We didn't talk about that either. Vargas gave him $30,000 and wanted him to invest it somehow in Triplets. So
I got to share my favorite line from that. When Sammy and Lucas get there, and they're trying to set it up for Maggie to take Allie out in the garden, and Sammy's making it all up, and she's like, yeah, she has a unit on, you know, and Lucas is like, botany, you know, and they're like, yeah, her biology unit, you know, and she goes, Lucas read all the materials, he'll explain it, so she tosses it to Lucas, and Lucas is like, yeah, you know, he's making it up, he's like, she's learning about, you know, pistons and stamens or whatever, and he's making it up and all. And then after they leave, he says something like, "It would have been nice if one of us had stayed awake." He goes, "It's a good thing I stayed awake during biology class." And she says, "Well, if I had stayed awake, we wouldn't have Will. But thank God we do." I thought that was a great line. That was cute. So
there's a lot of great lines.
I love that we get these Lumi scenes. Even though I don't want them as romantic partners anymore, I cannot get enough of them. I just love them. And they play so well off of each other. But I'm enjoying, right now I kind of feel like we're getting the best of both worlds. In that
mm-hmm.
we're getting the Lumi scenes, even though they're not having sex, but they're
mm-hmm.
Lumi, classic Lumi scenes. And we
mm-hmm.
get to see their sense of humor, and especially Brian. And then we still get the Janny scenes that have been pretty fun lately, too. And notice when you were talking earlier about how EJ, you know, said you're not returning the $30,000. He wasn't judging Sammy, which I love that.
Mm-hmm.
There's that thing of, you know, if it had been Lucas or Ray, they would have been looking at her with scorn, you know, whereas EJ is just like, nope, you're not taking it back right now, you know, that kind of thing. But, so I'm enjoying Jamie too. But I love seeing Lumi together. I always will love them.
Mm-hmm. So. And our buddy Kenneth brought up in the chat room something too that EJ they were going through the flash drives and they found it and Sammy took the flash drives back. He found Nick's file for Mad World and EJ stole that file. So I wonder if that has to do with Stefano. If maybe that's something he's going to set up Stefano with or not. So, but so far Nick hasn't figured out yet. But,
I wondered what it was. I wondered what file mm-hmm. he stole. I wondered what he got.
Yeah, I don't know if it's this new skin cream Nick said he came up with or not. But that was another thing. When Kate and Nick met, and where she told him that you serve at the pleasure of the queen, she told him to delete his files.
Oh, yeah.
Because she was worried about corporate espionage, you know, and all
yeah.
that. But
mm-hmm.
I think she was just doing it because she wanted to steal his idea. And that way he
yeah.
couldn't prove that it was his idea.
Yeah.
So, anyway, it looks like EJ got a hold of something from
mm-hmm.
from Mad World. We just don't know what it is. Kenneth reminded mm-hmm. me. So it really was just an excellent week on Dave's
side. It really was. I actually
mm-hmm.
watched most of it.
Yeah, it's kind of, I guess they're setting
it
up a whodunit now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With all the guns
really
and Kate and the gun
again.
And Sammy and mm-hmm.
isn't it weird and frustrating though how they can go back and forth so easily with being really crappy and then being really good?
Yeah, they seem to do that a lot. Yeah,
it's weird. Yeah,
from week to week.
I mean, some weeks
yeah.
you're like, "Geez, why do I have to watch this torture so I can talk about it on the podcast?" And then other weeks you're like, "Wow, this is really good." You know, even
mm-hmm.
I found this week even episodes, like the first two episodes of the week were a Coolatin episode, so that always makes it better. But I found myself even enjoying the stories I don't normally enjoy. I mean, I even could kind of stomach Daniel and what's her name, because I usually can't even stand them together. But I was
mm-hmm.
actually able to kind of tolerate them. And I finally started enjoying Cameron, this Cameron and Abby. This was the first week that I can honestly say I'm now into them, as opposed to, because I really like the other actors
well,
better. But,
yeah. That was a nice
but
thing what Daniel did,
me.
You know, giving up the tickets
I
after.
I know, I have to admit, that was
she,
really sweet.
That, you
mm-hmm.
know, Maxine, which was nice of Maxine. If it wasn't for Maxine, that wouldn't have happened because she found out what happened and then she let, you know, Daniel know. And then he did that, which was kind of cute, and Jennifer kind of played along and whatever. And I thought that kind of was a nice thing. And then with Cameron, and although I'm still getting used to him, I still kind of like Chad, but I don't know. We'll see. But I do like Kate Mancy. I think she's a good actor, so I like her. One of the younger ones, I do like her.
And I think now I'm now able to tolerate Briston, because I know it's hopefully coming to an end soon. I mean,
setup? How they're each setting each other up?
I know,
I was shocked.
Yeah, I was shocked that John's intention is to have sex with her. That shocked me.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was going to do something else. I didn't think he was going to have sex with her.
Mm-hmm. And like he's just doing this all for Brady, even though he might break up Marlena, you know, him and Marlena, yeah. He feels that that's the only way to keep Brady, you know.
Brady. Mm-hmm.
Him from hurting her, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she's intending to do, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have to admit the writing right now is really good. And
they each think
they're
full in the other.
you know, which is kind of funny.
Yeah. And what's with this damn picture, this Sierra thing? This is driving me crazy.
Open
I'm just
damn
so
envelope.
Sick of this already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm even confused. Who has the picture right now? She thought she
Sierra
gave it.
Sierra still has it.
She still has it.
In the wrong envelope.
Mm-hmm. Holy crap, it's been 2 flipping weeks.
She was upset because she gave Kristen the thing that was for Bo.
Yeah.
The envelope that was for Bo. And so I think she still has it. Awesome. Yeah. I don't know what she intends on doing with it.
I don't know. I wanted to go back a bit. Oh, shoot. What the hell are we talking about? Oh, yeah. Let's talk about Sierra and Briston. So Sierra was at school, and she's looking at the picture, and her teacher busts her. And actually goes to the point where she actually calls up Hope and complains that Sierra's not paying attention. So Sierra's pretty pissed. I mean, her dad's not coming home. She's in trouble at school. So she's in the at the square, and she's Kristen there, and she just goes over to her, but she recognizes her from the picture, and she knows she's Brady's fiance. And Kristen's kind of trying to get rid of her, but Sierra's kind of insisting on talking to her. And it was really nice. They had a nice conversation. And Sierra's like, oh, I get in trouble all the time, and I like my brother Zach, and Zach never got in trouble. And she said, Zach died, and my mom still cries about him. And it was so sweet. And, you kind of forget that Sierra's had a pretty traumatic childhood, really. And so Kristen trying to make her feel better, saying, yeah, I lost my sister too, and everybody thought she was the good one. And so they kind of bonded a bit. And Brady overheard the whole thing, and he thought the whole thing was pretty sweet. And Brady already heard from John that the reason, John thinks the reason why Kristen lost it was because she miscarried and wasn't able to have any more kids. And John said that he underestimated how much that affected her, and that's when she started kind of getting obsessed with John and then kind of losing her mind. So Brady actually says thank you, and then for the information, see, when you overhear this with Kristen, it's Sierra, it kind of makes sense that, you know, she never had a kid. So then Sierra gave them a different envelope with a bunch of stickers on it, and it was the one for Bo. And it was actually really sweet. I think this is the best use that they've had of Sierra in quite some time.
Mm-hmm. And then, she's a good little actress.
Yeah, she did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then Hope takes her to the pub, and then Marlena comes in, and Hope's like, tells Sierra basically to go to the kitchen again, like she always does. And it was so funny, but Sierra made a comment, like, oh, you're just trying to get rid of me.
Get rid of me. Mm-hmm. It says, you don't like Kristen either, do you? And she looks at Marlena, and you don't either. Didn't she say something like that? She says, you don't like Kristen, do you? And you don't either.
Yeah. We're seeing a new side of Sierra. She's a little pistol.
Mm-hmm.
So she did send her back so Hope and Marlena can gossip about Sierra. So that was the Sierra update of the week. She was really fantastic. So those were some really fantastic. I really like those scenes. And Anna, I know it's 10:33 and you're probably chomping at the bit, so let's get to our Kate update.
Well, okay, first of all, this with Kate, like Kate and Sammy had some great scenes. Kate purchases Sammy a gun and presents it to her as a gift, a wedding gift or an engagement gift. And Sammy's appalled. She thinks she's crazy. But she makes some snide remark to her like, you know, well, I guess as the kids say, you're hard up right now. You're like, she's implying, you know, basically saying, well, I guess since you don't have anyone in your life right now, you have all this time on your hands to think about me or whatever. And, you know, and she's like, I guess you're, as the kids say, hard up. And I'm like, what kid says that anymore? But anyway, that was funny. But so, of course, the irony is that Kate's, Kate's screwing her ex-husband, so it's like awesome. So all the Ray fans, we were all happy about that. It was pretty funny. So Kate just says, what makes you think that I'm not seeing someone? I love that. Anyway, so she presents the, you know, we're seeing a trend here. She presented Carrie with a dagger for her wedding gift or baby gift. I think it was a baby gift. I can't remember. Was it a baby gift or what? Yeah. Then she presents Sammy with a gun as a gift because, you know, every Demira woman should have one.
Right.
You know, with all the riffraff that goes on around the, in the house. And so Sammy keeps refusing it and saying she's just nuts and she needs to leave. And Kate leaves it there. She won't take it. And so Sammy ends up putting it in the drawer, which, as you were talking about earlier, with the Nick thing, where Nick shows up to get the to take the $30,000 back from her, she opens that drawer like she's going to use the gun. I thought, hoo-hoo, go for it, Sammy. But anyway, so Sammy and Kate have some good scenes, and I always enjoy Cammy scenes. They're always entertaining. And then, of course, all Rate fans were saddened about the next round of breakups that Rate has had. Basically, Kate and Rafe had some cute scenes. I think it was in the coffee house. And he even kissed her goodbye. I love it that he's like, you know, he's like, I think he's totally in love with her. He hasn't said the L word yet, but I really think he's head over heels for her. And, you know, he goes to kiss her goodbye and everything. And this time she didn't flinch. She actually let him kiss her and, you know, public display of affection number two. And so, not that we're counting or anything, but we are. So he, you know, I love how he's always like, am I going to see you later? She's like, yes. Like, I love it. I'm like, what's not to love about that, right? Yeah. Well, anyway, then at some point she runs into Stefano, and Stefano strongly implies that he basically knows who she's with and that she's with somebody. And that freaks her out. She gets all upset and thinks, you know, Rafe's going to be in danger again. So she goes back to her, I've got to break up with Rafe to protect him from Stefano thing, which is getting to be a little bit annoying for us Rafe fans. But anyway, so she meets up with Rafe later at some undisclosed private location, some restaurant or something somewhere, because he makes the comment, you know, why such an obscure place or whatever, hard to find place. And, of course, she's doing that because she's afraid. You know, she doesn't want Stefano to follow and hurt him. And so she basically says, you know why we're here, and you know why we're meeting. And he's like, no. And, you know, basically, she basically says that she's got goals and that he's a distraction and that she just needs to break it off. She's enjoyed their time together but over the last few months, but it's just time to end things. And, of course, he's like, this is because of Stefano, right? And she's like, you know, I mean, so basically she denies that. And, you know, they play this whole song and dance again. He has this cute comment about, I think it was Friday's episode, if I'm not mistaken, where he says something like, why don't we go back to my place and talk about it? Because every time they go back to his place, they end up in bed. So I'm like, I like the way you think, Rafe. That was a great thought. And she's like, no, you know. So she's basically breaking it off because she does love him. It's very obvious that she's in love with him. And she doesn't want him to get hurt by Stefano. So she's doing the selfless thing of breaking up with him. And, of course, he's looking for makeup sex. But I don't know. It ends basically with him He said, well, can we still be friends? I think he's just so adorable. I love Rafe now. I can't believe I can actually say that, to be honest. But I do. I love him now. And I love the way he's treated Kate. I love the way he, you know, treats her. He's just very sweet with her and very open and honest with her. And I just love that. And so, anyway, he's, like, holding her hand. And so he's like, can we still be friends? And she's like, well, gosh, I never thought we were friends, but yeah, I guess we can be. I thought that was funny, too. And so I guess they sort of part ways like that, and then she calls Stefano and makes the point of letting him know that, you know, things are over with her. And I mean, I mean, I'm glad that, I mean, it by them doing that, it's showing that she does love Rafe. Otherwise, she wouldn't care. But it's just annoying because I hate that Stefano's getting in the way of their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's part of the angst, and I'm willing to take some angst because happy couples, constantly happy couples, are boring couples, so we got to have some drama in there. But anyway, so she basically broke it off because of Stefano, and that she, oh, the other thing is, you know, Lauren's the best crier, whether it's subtle or it's, you know, whether it's, you know, the ugly cry, she is the best crier. And she had a tear coming down when she was telling Rafe that she was breaking it off. I was just like, whoa! So, anyway, so stay tuned for more drama with Kate and Rafe. And if you enjoy Rafe and Kate together, follow at RateFans, RateFans. Let us know that you are enjoying them. And, yeah, so that's pretty much as far as scenes with them together. I think that covers most of it. I don't know, did I leave something out? Did that cover it?
No. Was it
the beginning of the week that Kate had scenes with Nick? Oh, yeah, we talked about that with the mm-hmm. He served the pleasure of the queen. Lauren actually tweeted that was one of her favorite lines. That might have been her favorite line ever. I loved it.
Oh, I love it. I mean,
good.
I'm actually going to print.
Good phrase.
I'm going to print it out and frame it and take it in my house.
Remind
I'm so serious.
Yeah, I think all women like that line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know the one I liked was my favorite line was the week before when Rafe was getting on her about something and she says, "Oh, I don't know." He's like, "What were you thinking?" And she says, "Oh, I don't know. I guess I was watching my clothes hit the floor as you were ripping them off of me." That was my favorite line. I thought that was funny. The way she delivered it was just impeccable.
and Kate said, yeah, that their relationship was getting too serious and he was a distraction.
Yeah, she had goals. I'm like, really, Kate? I mean, not the goals aren't important, but you can still have sex with Rafe. It's okay. It's really okay. You can still meet your goals, too. Actually, that would be one of my goals. It's just, I'm just kidding. No. But, yeah. So it's obvious that she loves him and that she's sacrificing for his sake because she doesn't want him to be tied to her because she's afraid Stefano will come after him.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, you said Rafe was one of your goals. I thought that was Vargas.
I was teasing. Oh yeah, sorry. I was teasing.
And I liked one of the divas, the divas tweet where you said that Nicole wanted Brady to check out Vargas for him, and you said, "Oh, I'll do that for her." That was funny. That made me laugh. Yes.
Yeah.
Wouldn't we all?
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, sweetie.
Oh, yeah, and those Vargas and Nicole scenes, oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if they're hotter when they're together or when they're fighting, because I'm like, just
when
take her
fighting.
Right now. Just do it. Go, Vargas, go, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So they're kind
yeah.
of they're hot, whether they're fighting or they're together, whether they're friends or they're fighting, there's
mm-hmm.
still that chemistry there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that was fantastic. Yeah, Nicole heard Vargas talking to Nick over the phone, and she's like, "Oh, she could tell it was a con. They were talking about on the phone. She doesn't know that he's talking to Nick." And again, he kind of threatens to tell Eric about Nicole. Oh, it's funny too. Vargas actually impersonated Nicole in bed. That was hilarious.
Eric, yeah. So he's holding that over her head against Brady.
Yes.
I mean, against
yes.
Eric. Good.
Yes, and then Brady came to the church, and eventually he invites Eric to come to the wedding as a guest, and he just talked to Nicole, and Nicole congratulated him on his engagement. And Nicole then asked Brady for a favor. She wanted him to check up on Vargas for him. She doesn't trust him. And that's what came up with, I'll do it. I'll check up on him. And so, of course, Vargas is, everybody is just eavesdropping at this church. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, you know, you're in the house of the Lord and you're eavesdropping, you know, that's not a good thing. So Brady leaves, and then Vargas threatens Nicole again, and he looks like he's going to move in to kiss her, and she was ready to receive, and then he just turns around like a big stud and just leaves the room. So it's pretty hot. Yeah, so it's a very interesting thing. Oh, and yeah, Vargas, Nick, we already know that he gave him $30,000, and so far Vargas doesn't know the money's gone. So that should be pretty interesting when he figures that out. Let's see, what else have we? Yeah, you guys talked about the Kristen and John thing. That was hilarious. So Kristen's telling Stefano her plan is to get in bed with John to ruin John's relationship with Marlena and Brady. Mm-hmm. So John's telling Victor that Kristen still wants him. And I think Victor said something like, that's repulsive or something like that, or something. It was really funny.
Yeah, he had some good lines.
Yeah, he is pretty good. And then so John's like, well, I'm going to have to sleep with her. And Victor's trying to talk him out of it. He's like, you're going to lose
Brady.
Oh,
he says, couldn't you just kiss her, anything but that?
Yeah.
Why do you have to have sex with her? Yeah, couldn't you just kiss her or something and have them walk in on it or something? Yeah.
Yeah, and, oh no, John's got to do the dirty deed.
Yeah, John, sure.
I mean, poor guy. I mean, he's making such a sacrifice, you know, having sex with a much younger woman. So that was pretty, I mean, I was just like laughing because John looked like the biggest dumbass on the face of the earth because Kristen's saying she's telling Stefano she has no feelings for John, which, I mean, she could be lying, but I didn't get the impression. And she just wants to stay with him to, you know, basically ruin his life. So, but no one's going to forgive him, really, for sleeping with Kristen. So I'm actually looking forward to this because I thought the show was playing it all along that Kristen was falling for John, but Kristen saying to Stefano that she's pretending to still be interested in John to give him that impression so she can get him into a bed. So that was a really great episode too, because they were, you know, both explaining their plans. So it was, you know, that was pretty good. I thought that was interesting. I just thought it made John look like a douche.
Yeah.
Cause
I agree, considering I don't even care about the storyline. I was actually interested in that episode.
Yeah, it was so interesting because John is just so full of himself that he thinks Kristen can't resist him.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was just kind of bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
And before we get Kenneth on here, I want to mention the EJ Justin thing. I know you guys didn't watch Friday.
Oh yeah, I saw the beginning of it. The end of Thursday.
Yeah, I read what you said, that he was laughing a lot.
I saw parts of Friday with the rape stuff, but I did see a little bit of the Kiriakis stuff. Go ahead, but I thought that was really good.
Oh, so at the end of Thursday's episode, we see EJ meeting with someone privately saying, I want the total destruction of Stefano DiMera. So they show the rest of it on Friday, and they show it's Justin he's talking to, and Justin is laughing his ass off. And it's so funny. He's just laughing and laughing and laughing. It lasts like two whole scenes. He's just dying of laughter. So, but he's really serious. So he said he wants Stefano taken down by the summertime, and he wants Justin to be the one to do it because he said all the attorneys that EJ works with are really working for Stefano. So he really doesn't have anybody he can trust. And he kind of plays to Justin's vanity a bit, saying you could be the Kiriakis to take down Stefano. And he leaves him a bunch of files. So and EJ saying that taking him down is going to be done legally. So there's, you know, just keeps his hands clean. You know, he's not dumb doing anything illegal. So Justin's reading through all the paperwork and stuff. And it was cute. This Well, Adrienne was on a lot this week, and she was pretty funny. So make sure you check out the Adrienne scene. She calls up Justin, and he's, like, half paying attention to her on the phone. They were supposed to go out on a date, and he canceled on her, and they ended up going to have pizza at back at the mansion. And they had a nice kissing scene, which is cool. They haven't had one in a while. You could tell Justin's is just loving what EJ gave him, and he's actually, you can tell he's being kind of turned on about it. He's like thinking, I really can nail stuff at this time. So that was really cool. That was really cool. And I wanted to bring up the Adrienne stuff at the coffee house with Sammy that happened on Friday. That was so funny because they decided to try to get along. You know, they were, you know, conspiring against Nick, and Adrienne doesn't exactly even know what happened in Nick's room and why they needed to go in there. So at the coffee house, they're trying to make up, and they decide to call truce. And then Adrienne flips out when she sees Sammy's engagement ring. And she's like, I can't believe you're marrying into that family again. And she's like, was that three times? And that was funny because Adrienne and Justin have been married three times. And Adrienne also married into a mob family. So, I mean, that's the pot calling the kettle black. And then Sammy's and Adrienne started hurling insults at each other. And then Adrienne told Sonny that Sammy's marrying Lord Voldemort from Harry Potter. That's what she called EJ. So it was really funny. So, yeah, I mean, I recommend, if missed this week, I think you need to go back and watch. Because there was some great stuff, especially Friday, and I think maybe Tuesday and Wednesday. Yeah, I think the only low points really were the Danvers stuff, but they weren't on that much, and that was all about Cameron and Abby. But so that was pretty funny. I'm going to bring on Kenneth, see what he has to say this week. Hey, Kenneth.
Hello. Hi.
Hey, Kenneth.
Hi,
Kenneth.
Hi, Mary Ann, and hi,
Kenneth. Hi.
Kenneth, I have to ask you something. Now, after seeing the scenes this week with Nicole and Vargas, you kind of want to make Vargas mad?
Girl.
I really think you need to do something to make Vargas mad.
Oh, my God.
With him first.
There's so much.
He's even hotter when he's pissed.
Mm-hmm. Then he'll just give it to you rough then.
Well, no.
You know what? There was so much sexual tension built up. Mm-hmm. You could tell he just wanted to just take her and do what he wanted to do. And she wanted it too.
What? I mean, come on, we do.
It was like for me. It was like looking at a juicy steak. I mean, it was just right off the grill, too.
I sure hope Sean Douglas is listening right now.
I hope he's listening, too. I ain't no shame in my game. I ain't no shame. So,
hey, did you see that he tweeted about trying to come on in a couple weeks? So
yeah.
Trying to get him scheduled. So
yes. Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
I think, like I always say, once he comes, he's not going to want to leave. So I'm pretty sure that's going to be a regular thing. I mean, because what's not to like about us? We're like
he's got a fan club built in right here on the Diva of Duel.
Yeah, along with the Wind Fabulous Girls. Okay. Let me get down to business. Okay. I'm going to start with what's kind of been on my mind this week about this EJ thing. Do you think, now this is just a question, do you think that he's having villain-like qualities, but it's on a good side? Because since when have you known the Kyriakis bloodline and the Demare bloodline kind of link up to try to take out Stefano. I mean, it's kind of crazy. And I remember Justin asking EJ, "You never forgave your father for disowning you, have you?"
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "I never have forgiven him, and I never will forgive him for that." And I thought that was interesting that he actually, and he doesn't say this, but he actually has a strong that type of hate for Stefano for that. And you know, it kind of makes me think that maybe EJ has finally gotten it, that everything that people have said about Stefano is the truth, because it has happened to him. Because it's like, what have you done for me? And when at that point in time when EJ was a Demera, Stefano turned his back on him.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, mm-hmm. I thought that was kind of interesting. And to see, and that scene with Justin was just hilarious. I couldn't stop laughing either.
I have to see this. I'll have to make sure I see.
Actually, Thursday. I think he actually talks to him on Thursday, and then Friday, he actually sees who he's talking to. Because I couldn't wait till Friday. I'm like, who's he talking to? And it was really, really interesting. What else? I like the whole Sonny, Will, Sammy, Kate. I like all that business that's going on. Nick is on the verge of. It looks like he's gonna break any moment now. And that shows you as far as the character related to Vargas. He must be really afraid of Vargas, really afraid over some $3,000. You know, I mean, was it $3,000? No, I'm sorry, it was $30,000, and he wanted him to flip the money for him. So that was a must-see TV moment. It's kind of interesting that John and Kristen, have the same plan, but yet Kristen knows I'm going to make him think that I want him. I have never seen a smarter villainess than her.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very innovative, because there is no female villainess that has been smarter than her. I think she could give Sheila Carter a run for her money.
Oh yeah, well, Sheila Carter.
I really think that. I mean, that's.
Hey guys, I'm just wanted to let you know I'm going to be going. Get going,
okay,
you guys.
Sweetie.
Have a good time. Yeah.
All right, love
time.
You.
Have
okay,
great
you guys have a great rest
better.
Of the show. I know.
Okay.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
So I thought that was very interesting. That was really some of the main high points, because the whole Cameron and everything. I mean, it's okay. I prefer her with. What's the other guy name? Oh, Lord have mercy. The other Demero. What's his name?
Chad.
You talking about Tony or Chad?
Chad.
Yeah. I really under this new writing regime, he just seems more comfortable. They seem like they belong together.
The humor was good between them. They really have that witty repartee thing going.
Yeah, and I really like that. I really do.
Yeah.
Well,
maybe it'll be a full-fledged triangle, because you could tell the other day that Chad really has feelings for her again, and she kind of dismissed him. But I think she sees a shiny new you know, bare-chested Cameron is like, woo, over here, aisle number four, you know. But who knows? I mean, they did grow on me this week because I used to like Skylar Yancey with her. I thought they had more chemistry. But this week, Cameron actually grew on me for some reason. Mm-hmm. Maybe because he's being more real with her now or something. I don't know. But I think they're kind of cute together. But I see your point, though. I kind of like it's like they both, she has more of a witty repartee with Chad. So there's more, like, humor there. But
yeah.
Then there's the romance side with Cameron that there's potential for that they never really played up with Chad and Abby, you know. They never even kissed on screen, I don't think, you know, like when they were dating before. We never saw
mm-hmm.
any kind of romance or anything with them. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I don't know. I have to admit, I'm more intrigued. Now that they've given Cameron a few layers, I'm more interested in him than I was before. Because this new actor had an uphill battle, in my opinion, because Skylar Yancey's a really pretty good actor, and I think he and Kate Manzi had natural chemistry from day one, whereas this guy came in, he's nice to look at, I'm not going to lie, but I didn't think he had a whole lot of personality or sparkle, you know, at first. I'm seeing a little bit more of it now, so I'm trying to give him a chance, but we'll see. I don't know. The jury's still out on that one.
Yeah, I think they're still in the room voting. really interesting. I hate this picture story. I've turned it
I'm
in.
I'm so sick of that thing. I could just.
I'm tired of it.
It's almost a joke. At this point, it's almost like the camera kept panning to it and, you know, following it everywhere it went. And I was like, this is almost like a joke. Are you punking us, Dave? Come on, really? You know.
Yeah.
I mean, I almost want to smack little Sierra, and she's as sweet as she can be. I would never actually smack her, but I'm just like, give him the damn picture now.
Yeah, I mean, but it's just something conveniently always seems to happen with the picture when it's, you know, it's just like, wait for it. We'll have to wait for it again.
The question is, who's finally going to end up with it? What's going to end up happening? You know, now I'm kind of like,
I don't know. You know, if Kristen, you know, with the storyline, you really can't tell because at first, I mean, they did get engaged to get married, but they haven't really been talking about that. Now Brady's focus is, you know, Kristen can't have a baby, so he wants to adopt. And so, I mean, there's some puzzle pieces that are still left on the board that need to be
uh-huh.
with the rest of them. And I think from what I see in the writing, I you know, as good as it is right now, I think that even they are kind of puzzled trying to figure out what pieces go where, because it is very confusing, because it's probably one of the most boring, I mean, it probably started off interesting, but it is one of the most boring things on, as far as storyline is concerned right now. That's pretty much it on that. But
which aspect is the most boring?
The whole Sierra and the picture thing.
Oh yeah.
Because it's been drawn out for so long.
Oh yeah, it's ridiculous. It's gotten to the point where it's truly a joke at this point. Like really.
Yeah, I've become almost dyslexic just watching it. It baffles my mind. But let's see here. the Instagram photo, I think, is pretty interesting as well, because it makes me mm-hmm. wonder, what did Sammy do to get herself in jail again this time?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
That's interesting. I wonder if it has anything to do with the whole
with Nick?
Yeah. It makes me wonder. I'm not really
yeah.
sure. So, that'll mm-hmm. be interesting to watch and to
uh-huh.
see what's going on with that.
Uh-huh.
But
but
other than that, I mean, it's been a really great week. You know, I love seeing all the chess and the watchboard apps. it's been a whole lot of skin bearing so far, and that's been quite to my delight. Yes, you got chocolate candy, you got caramel candy, dark chocolate candy.
That's some.
What's a man like me?
Oh yeah,
and
yeah. I'm not complaining either. I'm right there with you.
Yes, and I can't wait for Rocket to come up to the
show. Oh, did you guys catch EJ's little dance when he leaves? When he was talking to Sammy about the strip, strip night, and then she obviously saw, you know, that she obviously saw her ex-husband there and everything. And as he leaves the room, he does a little move like he's doing a little strip tease for it. That was funny. I thought that was really cute.
That was actually kind of hot, really. Yeah. and then the little accent he gets just makes it even better. Just like, shut up and kiss me already. You know, oh my God. I bet I said it too loud. Sean might think I'm cheating on him. I'm not cheating on you, B. I'm not cheating on you. But it was a pretty good week. I must say it was enjoyable to watch. I'm really my favorite storyline besides the whole Vargas stuff is this Nick storyline, because it's answering a lot of questions as far as did prison change Nick for the better or for the worse?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I must admit, it changed him for the worse, because it's like it makes what he did to Melanie seem like nothing, because what he's doing now is a lot worse, and what's also so bad is that he's acting very desperate. I don't understand why this is occurring as far as the desperateness of what he's doing. I mean, it's just like he has to be, out of all the girls, he has to be with Gabby.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of all people, Gabby. And you know, and she's acting like she dumb as rocks. Because I mean, as long as she's been with Nick.
Didn't you say something to Rafe? Like, people think I just listen to Nick and do whatever he says. I'm like, it's because you listen to Nick and do whatever he says, you idiot.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why they think that.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
why they think that, because you do. You're like a Stepford wife, for crying out loud.
I mean, how could she not know that? And her brother figured this out before she did. Well, she still ain't got a clue. So he just figured it out already. That the reason why Nick does not want Will to be a part of that baby life is because he's gay. Rave figured that out, because he kept asking Nick all these questions, and he kept diverting from the question to bring up something else that ain't had nothing to do with what he was talking about. And Gabby sits there looking like a knot on the log, like she don't even know what's going on. I'm like, come on, girl. Come on. Come on now. So, that's my little random rave for the week. Y'all got any questions for me?
Ooh,
we could question you.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a question for you. When Vargas had Kate, had Nicole pressed up against the desk and was like, you know, angry flirting with, you know, like angry playing, were you picturing him with the shirt on or off?
No clothes.
Oh, there you go.
That's so funny.
I thought they were like 3 seconds away from just doing it right there. And the sexual tension was so strong right there. I was just like,
yeah, because she was looking at it when he was talking to her. She was looking into his eyes. She was looking at his lips.
And then when he made, I know we've already talked about that, when he made fun of her and imitated her in bed, oh, my God.
That was funny.
Oh, I was saying, this John Douglas, he is a prize. Dave needs to keep him for as long as he's willing to stay around because he has such range as an actor. He can play the sarcasm and the, you know, the humor, and then he can be as sweet as anything, even if he's playing them. He can just show the softer side and the compassionate side, and then he can turn around and be just a total, you know. And so, I mean, you know, I liked his scenes with Nick, where with Nicky, he always called him Nicky. That cracks me up. I like his scenes where he said, you know, you're only as good as your word in prison, and of course you're with a bunch of people there that have no honor or anything, so it's not even any good there. But he was like, I kept my word to you, and now you need to keep your word to me. And I thought that was kind of cool because, in a way, I mean, he kept his end of the bargain. I mean, Nick's still alive, and he wouldn't be alive probably now if it weren't for Vargas. So, in a way, I actually could kind of find it. I mean, I don't agree that they should be doing anything illegal, but I kind of think, honestly, Nick, you know, Vargas has a point. He held up his end of the deal and protected Nicky, and, you know, now it's Nick's turn to deliver for him. I kind of agree with him in that way, you know?
Yeah, I definitely do. And, you know, with the way Nick is acting, he doesn't seem like the type of person that needs protecting. It looks like if he wanted to get rid of Vargas, he could do that. Did you see the preview where I think Ray finds out what the truth is and somebody hit him over the head with a pipe or something? You know, and you know, they're speculating that could be Nick or somebody like that. But honestly, Nick is a very, very, very resourceful, very smart man.
But I think in prison he was physically weak, and he was being abused or was potentially going to be abused in a very serious manner. So Vargas protects him. And so now he owes him, you know. So I get that in a way. It kind of makes sense. I'm rooting for Vargas on this one.
Yeah, honey, you know, I'm rooting for Vargas no matter what he do, good or bad, honey. It don't even matter. It don't even matter to me.
Me neither.
Was he
But they've got to find a way to keep him in Salem. He's just too yummy and too. I mean, he's got the best of both worlds because the character is very rich. With layers, and then of course he's hot. That doesn't hurt. Ooh. And then you actually have an actor who can pull off all those layers—no pun intended—and you know, actually carry it out, you know, and execute it. So, you know, they've got the perfect storm of holy hotness there. And they need to keep it.
Whoever was in charge of the casting for that, I shall thank them, honey, because they have given me a.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and you know, the next one I want to see is I want to see him eye Kate. That's what I want. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm all for Rate, but I want to see what the chemistry is like with Vargas and Kate, too. I think that would be another interesting. Of course, I'm still 100% Rafe and Kate, but I think that would be an interesting angle to pursue at some point, whether it's just a triangle or a hint of a triangle or something, or Kate in between good and evil. I don't know. I think a Vargas Kate Rafe sandwich sounds really appetizing. So,
yes, you know
anyway.
What? I didn't even think about that. That would totally be hot.
Yeah.
Totally be
hot. And all three actors would be officially the luckiest people on the show. That would be fun. So yep. So we'll keep that one on the back burner, Kenneth. Okay.
Put that on the front burner, honey.
It needs to be.
Oh my God. So good. I can't believe y'all done did it to me again. Y'all done got me stirred up.
I know. Now you're gonna be up all night, aren't you?
I was up all night last night thinking about Marcus. I'm going to make it two nights in a row. I'm going to take a
I hope you have sweet Marga's dreams tonight.
Margalicious. There we go. Margalicious dreams. Because we say that about Teo. Teo-licious. Like, sweet Margalicious dreams for you, Kenneth.
Oh, have mercy. Don't do this to me. You know, as usual, it's always a blast talking to y'all, and I've been kind of underneath the weather this week too. I've been having a lot of issues with this pollen and stuff, so I'm just so lucky. I'm lucky to be talking with you guys because I couldn't.
Well, we love hearing from you.
We like hearing
the Kenneth POV.
I like hearing y'all too. Like I said, I can't wait for what's ahead. Real quickly, have y'all caught any of the All My Children, One Life to Live?
I haven't. Because I never really watched the shows, but I heard it was pretty good. They debuted this week. Yeah,
it's really interesting. They do four shows a week, and then the Friday show is kind of like it's a recap of what happened the week, they get like maybe two or three actors or something. They sit down and they talk to them, and people get to interact with them and ask
questions.
That's cool. And they had Ginger Smith, what a woman name is. Who is the executive producer? And it was asking her some questions and stuff like that. So
I thought that was kind of neat.
But and actually, they were talking about, you know, since those shows are back, that they could be eligible for they will be eligible for the Emmys next year, and they will be able to compete in the same categories as the rest of the shows that are on TV.
And you know, if you think about it, most of us watch at least some episodes online of our shows that are aired on television.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'll usually catch one or two episodes here and there throughout the month online as opposed to watching it on my DVR. And so if they keep the production values similar to what they had on the date on when they were actually airing on TV, I don't see how the audience would see that much difference. Now, if they had cheesy production values and shoddy work and everything, that would be different. But from what I've heard, the production values are supposed to be pretty similar to what they had, you know, on air. And so, to me, nowadays, there are so many different formats to view our shows on that it almost doesn't matter that it's a internet only or whatever, because that's how a lot of people view this stuff anyway, you know? So as long as the production values are there and the quality of writing and everything is still there, I think it could definitely be successful if people are come back, if the fans that watched it will come back.
Right now it's they had this week's ratings, I guess, for that they're at the top of iTunes right now.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm not really really big into iTunes or anything like that, so I don't really follow that too much. But you know, the biggest thing I have notice is that the language is a little bit different. They can say shit on the show, and they can't, you know, No, you can call somebody a bitch on TV, but you can't say S-H-I-T on daytime TV. They can do that there.
Interesting.
You know, it's and they're not that anyone, not that they didn't, but it was a sex scene, well, a fantasy scene with David Hayward and Kara, which is the girl from Passions, Teresa. And it was pretty raunchy. I mean, they were tearing clothes off. I mean, I was like, what did I turn to? I mean, it was just that type of thing. I mean, taking against the wall, snatching her clothes off.
Wow.
I mean, oh my.
So they have a few less boundaries than they did on network TV, apparently.
Yes. I was like, oh my goodness. I'm like, oh my. But it was hot.
So from what you can tell, are the fans coming back? The fans that were fans of those shows before, are they coming back?
I really have to see what their numbers are.
Yeah.
To really know.
Well, I hope. I'm rooting for them, even though I don't watch those shows anymore for years and years and years and years. I'm rooting for them as far as the genre goes and as far as the fans. Because if it were Days of Our Lives or even GH, now that I'm watching that again, you know, I'd tune back in if they had Days of Our Lives off for a year, God forbid, and then brought them back online. I'd tune in for sure.
Well, yeah,
so I would hope that people were, but I kind of have wondered since the whole thing stalled. It was supposed to start up on the internet about a year earlier, so it kind of makes me wonder if they're going to lose people or if maybe they'll gain. Maybe some of the old fans will return. Maybe they'll pick up some new fans. You know, I don't know.
Well,
are they're a half hour format now, right? Each half hour.
It's like if you Days Online is like 38 minutes. So with them, it's like 24, maybe 25 minutes. I will say this: the only really important thing is that, you know, if anything were to ever happen to Days or anything, or Bold and the Beautiful, or Young Wrestlers or anything like that, it kind of gives you hope of life after death. You know, especially of the substance, because we know once they're gone. You know, it's not like they can go back and conjure up another world again, because that's been off the air for so long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as the world turns and all that stuff. So, I mean, I just really think I just really think that now that that's in place, it'll be a lot easier for us, you know, as watchers to keep the shows that we want to watch. You know,
yeah, I have to say I had always been a fan of Oprah Winfrey, but I got to say, she really disappointed me with her attitude about the soaps back when this all blew up and everything a few years ago.
Yeah, I agree.
And you know what? That would have been the smartest move she could have made, was to in some way, shape, or form be known for saving those two soaps, putting them on her network, and I guarantee you she would have had more people on that network than she has right now. Because they would have been drawn to her network for those shows, and they would have stayed once they saw some of the other programming. As it is now, much as I love the woman, I don't ever think to go on her network. I never think about it, you know. But if I were a soap fan that watched those two soaps, and I knew, oh, I got to program my DVR for Oprah Winfrey every night, you know, the OWN network, you know, every night for my shows or whatever. And then I look and go, oh, wait, she's got an interview with so-and-so. I'll have to tune into the tap. It would have given her network a lot more visibility and a lot more traffic than than with her basically trashing the soaps in a sense. I mean, not in a mean-spirited way. She's not a mean lady. But, you know, she basically was like, if we could make, you know, if the networks could have made a dime more on it, they would have kept them. Well, that's BS. But we know now the people that were behind those decisions had it in for the soap genre to begin with and didn't want to stick around. You know, now they've got people who are actually supportive of the genre that are in charge at NBC and CBS and, you know, and even ABC with their new regime, you know, with General Hospital. It's got new life because of the change in leadership. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, and it's crazy because Oprah's network is not doing all that hot.
No.
And because you have Oprah Life Class and all that stuff. All that stuff is, I mean, it's good and everything, but, you know, it doesn't speak to the masses as the subs. So, you know what? You know, so I look at, if I were to go back and look at the ratings at that particular time of All My Children and One Life to Live, I think they both brought in at least a million or so viewers apiece.
She would have had a million more people on that network.
she would have doubled. She wouldn't have to depend on Tyler Perry to come in and save her as Madea.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
I guess I got off topic but a little bit, but that was something that's been in my craw since she said that, and you know.
Yeah, it is what it is. Do y'all know how are we doing in the rating race right now?
The ratings didn't come out from last week, but we still seem to be in fourth. But it's just odd. Sometimes we're up, sometimes we're down. But we're nowhere near third, really, at all. We're like down like 300-some thousand to General Hospital. So
I wonder why that is. I don't know. I mean, it's not like YNR's writing is better than ours. No way. So.
Well, my theory's always been YNR's on at 12:30, and they have no competition until Days is on at 1. That's why I always thought YNR was number one. But the thing is, though, too, General Hospital's on at 2 o'clock, and there's nothing opposite that either. So you'd think General Hospital would be number two or something, but I just don't know. And
well,
the thing is, too, Bold and Beautiful is number one in the world. So it's kind of odd that Bold and Beautiful is number one in the rest of the world. I mean, I guess anybody who appears in that show is big in Italy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't understand why that doesn't translate to the U.S.
Well, I know here in Arkansas, they air Young Restless at 11, Bold and the Beautiful at 12:30 to 1, and then at 1 o'clock they air Days of Our Lives, and at 1 o'clock on ABC they air General Hospital.
Hmm. Oh, so they're up against each other. Huh.
Yeah, I mean, here. Now, it could be different somewhere
else.
Yeah,
it's different. In our market, it's different. We have YNR's on from 11 to 12, Days of Our Lives on from 12 to 1, General Hospital's on from, I think, 1 to 2 now. I think they went into One Life to Live slot or something. So they're not competing. I think Bold and the Beautiful competes against Days of Our Lives for half an hour in our market.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy because you can't go on Soapland and watch Days of you can't go on Soapland and watch Bold and the Beautiful. I've never.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only show you can't see on Bold and the Beautiful. On Soapland. Mm-hmm. Ain't that something?
Yeah, that's odd.
Well. All right, ladies. I'm through.
Well, thanks for calling. We love hearing from you.
Thanks,
Kenneth.
You know, I love y'all.
Love you too.
We love you too. Bye.
See y'all next week.
Bye-bye.
Well, Anna, it's 11:30 here. Do you have any?
Oh, boy.
I know. It went fast.
Wow, time flies.
Yeah. Is there anything we didn't talk about?
I think we covered everything that I know of anyway.
Yep.
I'm good. I'm good. We got Kenneth's take, and Marianne got to call in for a little bit. I guess Rose had to be somewhere, but we miss her. Hey Rose. Sounds good. So
yep.
All right. Well, till next week, at least we got some stuff to look forward to next week.
Yeah, I'm hoping next week's a big disappointment. So
yeah, because I mean it's May. We're on May sweep, so let's hope it actually acts like a sweeps period.
Yeah. So let's hope for the best.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, Marianne,
all right.
Anna, and Kenneth. We'll see you guys next week.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.